Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 18 of the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. We are back with the usual cast of characters. I am Ankeny Fanatic publisher Dan Holm. To my left is the star of the show, Rod Brand of Shelter Insurance. And to my right, Tony Rhodes. How you guys doing?
I'm great. You know, 18, that means this is our fourth year. So we started this during COVID, I believe.
I believe we did.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool. 4 years going strong now, every quarter. Pretty neat. It's a great thing to sponsor Ankeny Fanatic. I found out the other day that Roger Elder didn't really even, he's a former coach here, by the way, for those that don't know Rob Rowe. Played for the Raiders for a short time, but he gets on it every day and reads it now.
Well, good.
Dave Kissinger showed him about it, and he says, Raj doesn't go a day without reading it. He loves it. So that's another good one out there for you, Dan.
Well, good for Raj. Yeah. I got a card in the mail today from another former coach that we're good friends with, Dale Hanke. He couldn't make it to my birthday party. Yeah. But he sent me a nice card. I appreciate that. So.
Yeah, he's probably the best teacher that I ever had, to be honest with you. Sorry, Raj, but except for
I'd second that.
Except for I didn't have Raj.
Yeah.
So I can say that. But yeah, a little extra credit on Friday. You know,
Thursday.
Yeah.
Had you not, Mr. Troxel, just barely.
Yeah. Mr. Troxel. Carl's a good guy, though. Yeah, Cosimoto in the library, and Dennis Kosarich.
Yeah.
But no, like 4 years, that's pretty cool, you know. So what do you think, Dan? What do you think about the high school sports now?
Well, I was going to start, we got the college football playoff tonight, so we can start with that. I was just going to say, I just got a message. This isn't breaking news, but I just got a message from J.J. Cole asking about his commitment to Appalachian State, yeah. which he announced yesterday. And I want to get a brief comment from him. He says he can't wait to get to work with Coach. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's Logaianis. So Logaianis.
Yeah. Is it maybe real Logaianis?
Is it? What's his first name?
Greg.
Dole. Dowell. I guess he was the offensive coordinator at South Carolina the last 2 years. So
okay. So well, I think it was Logaianis at Pitt when my brother was there. But I'd have to check.
So where I'm being up front, I don't know where, what city is Appalachian State in?
I'd look it up. Boone, North Carolina.
You know, I've heard of that now that you mentioned it. So yeah.
I would have to look. I wouldn't even know the state.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I got to watch JJ play as a sophomore here. And was a sophomore when he was at Centennial before he moved?
Right.
Yeah. And he did a great job. He's a big, strong, athletic kid. Iowa State had a lot of quarterbacks. I still think he's a prototypical Iowa type quarterback. You know, big, strong, and tall. But I wish him all the best and the greatest success there. You know, it's pretty cool when you see these Ankeny kids that have success places. You know.
Yep, and I'd look it up too. They play in the Sun Belt Conference. I see they have like Southern Miss and Arkansas State on their schedule next year. So he'll see some good teams.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good for him. Good for him. We get the playoffs tonight. Who you like tonight?
I like Notre Dame. And I was going to ask you your thoughts on it. As we walked in, you didn't know who was playing, so you don't appear to be heavily invested in it.
Well, I knew it was playing. I just couldn't remember when it was because it doesn't seem like it'd be a Thursday night type game to me. You know, it just seems like that's usually like a Monday game and those type of things. So, yeah.
Well, it's kind of a weird Final Four because we have four big brands. I mean, they're all obviously usually the favored teams. And so now we've got, you know, Texas is a big underdog tomorrow night. Tonight's game is pretty much a toss-up. But if you're rooting for an underdog, it's kind of hard to find a team to root for. I don't, Tony, do you have a team you're rooting for?
Well, I'm in a pool that you assign points to each team, 12 go down to one. And I actually signed – I really had to get – because I did like a number of these teams, but – I had to put all that aside, and you know, there's money here, so I looked for who I thought had the easiest path, and I actually gave Notre Dame a 12. So I'm rooting for them to win, just because I had them in my pool. But I also gave I gave Penn State 11 or 10 because I thought they'd get there too. But since I have Notre Dame the highest, I'm rooting for them, and I'm not a big James Franklin fan.
He's hard to like.
He did something in the Rose Bowl when they were playing Utah. He was caught on the mic and called a timeout late in the game when they were way up, and he could hear him yell back at the fans.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm a big big fan of his either.
I did see the map of the nation, Dan, and they were showing geographically who teams are rooting for, and it almost looked like a Republican Democrat map, because all this red, because all the people that live in these rural areas are, you know, tend to be Republican. Well, it was almost all Notre Dame. Right in the state of Texas was Texas, Ohio State there, and then up in Pennsylvania, it was there. And yeah, it was very geographical, except for Notre Dame, and Notre Dame had about most of the nation, which kind of surprised me. But that's a brand that people either they love them or they hate them. Yeah. You know,
I don't hate Notre Dame, but that's who I'm rooting for, because I really don't want to see an all Big Ten matchup. I don't think that'd be too interesting, but I don't know. Well, some people probably would like that. I don't know.
Well, I want to see Ohio State win it. Yeah. I mean, anybody that gets under coach's ass, you know, that's had the success he's had, because he hasn't beat Michigan the last few years. You know, this year he should have got them because they weren't cheating. But, you know, it's pretty obvious they were cheating before. I mean, the whole world knew it. But, that's who I'm rooting for.
Well, Antonio, your brother was at Ohio State a couple years ago. And we can talk about where he's at now. You got your new gear on. But is that any factor? I mean, you don't want Ohio State to win because of that?
Again, since I'm kind of removed from all teams as far as having any connection to them, I've got rid of all my Ohio State gear. The small amount that I had. It wasn't hard to sell, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just doing everything based on my pool. And I signed them the least amount of points because I thought they had the toughest path of the four that were remaining. But it wouldn't bother me to see, I'd like to coach today. Got to meet him briefly, but Texas, I wouldn't mind, you know, they always seem to underachieve to compared to the talent they have. And then, this game tonight, I'm definitely rooting for Notre Dame, but historically I've not been a big Irish guy.
I think the game tomorrow is going to be interesting because, I mean, a lot of people are discounting Texas, but, you know, they certainly have the talent that they can beat Ohio State. And Ohio State has shown, like they did in the Michigan game, that, you know, they can lay an egg once in a while. So, I would not be shocked at all if Texas beats them.
I don't think Will Howard is as good as C.J. Stroud was. So, I don't know. They didn't get there with him, so I don't know. We'll see. I actually think the Texas quarterback is better, but they have some good offensive minds on the staff with Chip Kelly and Ryan Day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for those of you who didn't read my story on Yankee Fanatic, Tony, do you want to tell people where your brother's at?
Oh, okay. Mississippi State, Starkville, Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen, as a senior analyst. So, seems pretty exciting. It's a 4.5-hour drive from Gulf Shores, Alabama, where they reside, and so they can maintain the home, and he's got a 2-bedroom apartment in Starkville, which he's made clear that there's room for anybody that wants to come down to a game. So I'm gonna take him up on that fight, and I'm retiring in May. So it should be fun. My daughter getting married this fall too, so it's gonna be a busy year.
For sure. Yeah. Have you looked ahead to their schedule? So who do they play at home this year?
I haven't looked at it too carefully. Georgia's at home. it's when you say schools like that, it's gonna take you back to when he was at Auburn. I think Florida is at home, but that's the weekend of his son's wedding. There's another. My nephew's getting married 2 weeks after my daughter in Nashville. So no, I haven't looked at it too closely, but the closest they get to us is at Arkansas, so I think I'll go there. They do play Arizona State as a non-conference game at Northern Illinois, so those those aren't easy gimmies. Arizona State, obviously, Scatabou goes bye-bye, but I think that coach is probably building a pretty good program down there. So.
Well, Northern Illinois got those former Ankeny guys, so maybe I'll have to come down there for that one.
That'd be a good reason, right? And that's when you're back. You had a couple kids from Northern Illinois transfer to Mississippi State. So, anyway, They lost 20-some kids in the portal, and they're I think it's 17 or 18 incoming, and they have 20-some incoming freshmen, so they'll have about a half roster turnover from last year's 2-10.
Wow.
Pesky ball club that did not win a game in the SEC. So.
Well, at the time I wrote that article, it said that they were like the fifth-ranked portal class
In the country. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well,
it usually means a lot of
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know they ranked the portal classes now, but it makes sense.
Yeah, they're recruiting. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. You know, that's a whole different game.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, good for him. I wish him all the luck in the world. And, you know, I go down a couple of games at Arkansas. And I picked a couple of gimmies. I went down and watched him play. Went down and watched him play Alabama with Nick Saban, and then I went down and watched him play Auburn. And they were just loaded that year, so. Yeah, I didn't get to go down to... I should have picked a game like when I was at Pittsburgh the one time I watched him play Middle Tennessee State University, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't do that, you know.
That was the fastest college football team I've seen. A lot of it was team speed when it was at Alabama.
It was just incredible.
When they made a pick and... I mean, the whole team was just run down.
And that's when they were at their highlight of being phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Nick Saban had it.
Kiffin was the OC at the time, so yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were moving. And, you know, I'm going to be honest anymore, I like Nick Saban's commercials. You know, they crack me up, you know. I'm kind of starting to like him now that he's not coaching anymore.
I agree. He plays that part great. Right?
Yeah.
It's 2:55. I know.
And 5 minute showers. This isn't a spa.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, speaking of, you know, like college coaches, let's throw it there. What about maybe Campbell interviewing with the Bears?
That's interesting. I'm of the opinion that I feel like if he wants to go, he should go. If that's what he wants to do, go for it. If they want him, but I can't see that being a successful marriage myself. I don't think his coaching style, you know, the whole process thing, I don't think that's going to work in the pros, but who knows, maybe he can make it work.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Our buddy Brent Cameron made a great point and said, well, after the, what was the basketball coach there?
Floyd Weber.
After that, you know, they might want to rethink. They might want to rethink it, but no, I mean, he's, you know, it's got to be pretty... really highly thought of for there, so you got a young, fairly young coach from college looking at the pros, and then you've got one of the oldest coaches that is with North Carolina. North Carolina, and I heard today that a couple teams have reached out to him. He's got a $10 million buyout if he wants to go somewhere, I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, you know, we got, I hope the Jets hire Rex Ryan, because, you know, it's a perfect fit. A guy I don't like with a team I don't like, so that's perfect. But I just wonder what's going to happen.
The Bears seem to be throwing out a pretty wide net there.
Yeah.
How many? 15 or 16 was it? What I heard.
Oh, really?
That are on the interview request. I don't know how many they'll actually interview, but
yeah.
That's what I heard.
You know, and you could be a guy like, you know, my maybe least favorite owner, Jerry Jones. McCarthy's been the ultimate professional down there, in my opinion, the whole time. You know, he's had 4 12-win seasons. They just haven't had success. You know, and Jerry's the worst GM in the world. And, you know, the Bears requested permission to talk to McCarthy. And, you know, of course, he didn't give it to him, but yet he hasn't been in his contract. Typical Jerry, it's all about him.
Right.
You know, I'm just glad I'm not a Cowboy fan. It's hard to be a Dolphin fan. At least I don't have to just hate my owner. You know, it's all about him.
Yeah. Well, Tony, you said that they have like 15 or 16 names they're looking at. So I don't know who puts out these names or how the Campbell news got out there. But like from Campbell's perspective, I mean, I get it why maybe he'd want to take their phone call, maybe talk to them, maybe even interview them. But if he can keep that under wraps so that it doesn't hurt like their recruiting, wouldn't you want to do that? I mean,
I don't know, because I don't know how, you don't know all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. That's what I learned. I've learned it a long time ago.
Well, I'm sure.
Like, there, one theory I heard, like, maybe he can get more money that he helps out his assistants with by you know, kind of leveraging.
I suppose.
I mean, who knows? There might be something, you know, that's really good intention behind it. But yeah, yes, on the surface, I agree with your statement. But you never know what's going on. Is an agent put it out there? Does he have an agent? Someone say he didn't have an agent too. I don't even know how to have an agent. I mean, a kicker on Akron has an agent.
he didn't have a special teams coach for many years, so maybe he doesn't have an agent either.
But anyway, I find it hard to believe. But, you know, you just don't know what's going on. So,
And I can tell you.
And maybe that helps recruiting in terms of, you know, those two theories that names out there, hey, this guy's so good that pro teams run.
I suppose.
Or people recruiting against him say, hey, he's not going to be there long, you know. Who knows? But with NIL, I don't know how much that impacts recruiting as much as it used to, that kind of stuff, because you can change your roster so much, you know, in your time. So.
You know, it's speaking of agents, you know, everybody should have one.
That's a beautiful, Rod, that is a segment
there. And of course, that's what I do, and I tell you right now, while you're listening on here, you're probably getting your homeowner's bill, and you're probably going, whoa, because that's what's happening. 30 companies have pulled out of the state. It's crazy. It's crazy. I've written people already 11 this week. It's nutty. I've had people that are paying $11,000 on their house for real. $950,000 house in Milwaukee. I insured today for $3,800. It's like that right now. Somehow we have in this market weathered the storm better than most, and we're not pulling out. We're not non-renewing people. And it's a brutal market, but it's scary to go at it yourself. When you have that claim, you have that tornado, like the people up in Elkhart did, you're gonna want somebody that's a professional. So if Dan Campbell, Matt Campbell, doesn't, he probably needs an agent. Well, you certainly do. At 964-1791, you call me, I'll hook you up.
You got Dell at 515.
Yeah, 515, you know. But anyway, I had to get into the agent segue here, because this is why we're here.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I was waiting to get that one in there, you know. But you know, it's crazy. And speaking of agents, I don't have one. I should have an agent for my podcast to hold out for some more money to Tony here. But like this NFL, we got to talk this. We got Tony, who's a big Vikings fan. They had a broadcast. It's a tough loss last week, but his Vikings are they're damn good. And then Dan's a Chief fan, and you know, the people that like him. Everybody else hates him.
The rest of the world doesn't.
Yeah. And so I want to see, this is just me personally, I'd like to see Riley Moss in the Super Bowl because he's an Ankeny kid.
If you can't have the Dolphins, that's your next.
That's what I'm rooting for.
There you go.
And if the Bills beat them next week, then I'm rooting for the Bills to go to the Super Bowl. And I'd like to actually see the Bills maybe even win it, because they can have the Super Bowl hangover then the next year. But I'd like to see, I think, whoever those two are, I would love to see, you know, if Denver can't do it, I'd love to see a Bills versus Vikings or Lions Super Bowl, so we're going to have a first-time winner no matter what. That's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Philadelphia in it. Don't like them. You know, Washington, I like what they're doing there.
And that's a likable coach.
Yeah, it is, you know. Yeah, he's real likable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a Harbaugh fan. So, I'm not going to.
But, boy, he's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
Which one?
I don't like either of them.
I don't mind. Is it John? John. I don't mind Raven John. But
yeah, I don't mind him.
Jim. I think he knew everything that was going on there.
Yeah,
he cheated. Got away with it.
Cheated. Yeah, the guy cheats.
But he sure can coach.
I watched that video, the documentary on the guy, and of course Harbaugh didn't know, but against the University of Iowa, he got a game ball, and the game balls are the ones that they paint and all the stuff on it with his name on it.
Mm.
But he didn't know he was doing it. Yet he gets a game ball.
Mm.
Wow.
Things that make you go,
Let's connect the dots here. You know, he's a cheater. You know? I don't like cheaters. But, yeah, I think we've got some good games. We think the best game of the week is going to be, Dan.
I would say I think it might be that Vikings game.
I think so, too.
It depends on where they play it. But are they going to move it, Tone?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't mind. Although Vikings, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Everybody travels to, it seems like, to that SoFi and fills that up. But the Vikings will have a good representation at L.A. or Arizona. Arizona, they might probably, I would guess they might have more.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd think, yeah.
And our buddy Mike Kelly down there. Is he down there?
Yeah, well, he's on his way there. He's
got. And then he was there for the SoFi game.
Yeah.
At L.A. earlier in the year, where he didn't win. That was a 4-day turnaround from the Detroit game. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game. Rams are good.
Yeah.
And they did a great job drafting. They got two rookie guys on the line that are really good.
Yeah.
And he's like, I wish I, you know, that's one thing the Vikings have not drafted very well.
Yeah, the Rams, yeah.
Then here's a question for you, Tony. Just like I know Rod feels like the Chiefs were throwing the game last week because he's biased, but I'll ask you, because the Vikings are the 5 seed, even though they have that great record, do you think they need to change the way they see the teams?
I don't. I'm not gonna go there. I don't. I mean, then what's the point of having divisions? Just have a 16-team conference. I kind of, and the regionals. No, I don't. You know what? You got to win games to get to the Super Bowl, whether that's. They knew what they had to do, and they didn't beat Detroit. So, I don't, you know, it's similar. I've heard that same argument with the college, really, because right before, and so no, I don't think so. I don't want, you don't want an overreaction every year to what happened this year. I think this is a unique year. That division won't be. I mean, Baird may be better next year, but I don't see that as
right
happening next year, and it might, you know. So now I don't. No, I would honestly rather go to Tampa Bay. Now, they're a good team too. Don't get me wrong. They can score with anybody, but they scare me less than the Rams do.
Yeah.
Because I've also seen the Rams beat the Vikings already this year. So.
Now, what do you think they're going to do with Darnold? Or do you think it depends on how they do in the playoffs?
I do, and I still have mixed emotions about it. If that same Darnold shows up again this week.
He didn't have a lot of help.
I know. It's hard to it's if you just had more of a foundation to in your memory to build on all I got is this year and then seeing him on previous years on other team. But he's a Pro Bowler this year, by God.
And he deserved it.
But he does hold the ball all the time. And some of that is game planning. So
yeah. How many games did he play this year? All 16?
Yeah.
17, yeah.
He missed a few plays here and there, but yeah. So I would understand either decision, I guess. So that way it's not going to really upset me whichever way they go. I tell you what, if he takes them all the way, though, I mean, who knows what they'd do, but it'd be hard to say, no, we don't want this guy anymore. We don't.
And he's still not that old, right? I mean, what, late 20s maybe?
Yeah, he's 27, I think, 27.
So, yeah, he can play a long time, yeah.
Yeah,
he's just a year older.
But then, if you keep him, I do think you trade McCarthy if you can get a bunch of draft picks for him. Because,
yeah, their teams are going to want him because there's a lot of teams need quarterbacks this year. You know, I'm going to segue into something else that I
talk. We'll see about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's another segue I'm going to segue to, is that rule, I agree. I don't want to see an unseeded. I think if you win the division, you it means something, okay?
Yeah.
So I agree with Tony. What I would like to see them do, though, is the bottom 10 teams, because there's teams that will tank on purpose at the end. I think that'll do like the NBA and have a lottery system, and you get... Just, you know, so
I don't disagree.
So like the Patriots, that just happened to, you know, win that game. They go from first to fourth. Yeah. I think you get so many, you know, if you're first, you get 10 things in, you know, 10 digits in the little draw. And if you, the 10th team, you get one. I just think they had to draw it like that. And I think it's more fair. And I think makes teams not want to maybe throw something at the end of the year.
I like that idea, Ron. I hadn't really thought about that for the NFL, but because you hate to hear all that talk about now your fans are there rooting against their own team because they don't want. I mean, who wants that?
No, I think.
And those guys want to win. Those players want to win. That's how
they're wired. And they're playing for their contract next year. Yeah. And it's still a human game, and they want to play with their emotions. And you know, I saw something this week that I thought was really neat. The Packer receiver went down with a non-contact injury.
Christian Watson.
Yeah, and you could really tell the care in the face of the Bears defensive back that right away, you know, got somebody over there and then sat down and kneeled with them. At the end of the day, they want to win, but they really don't want to hurt anybody.
Isn't that weird how they can turn that button on and off? Because you see that a lot more, I think, since the thing happened with, what's the name of the guy?
Hamlin?
Buffalo, yeah.
Right.
I think you see that a lot. The players seem to be really a lot more sensitive to that stuff.
Because it's their livelihood.
Right.
You know, and...
And then you're out there the next play trying to knock somebody's head off.
I know, but you don't want to hurt them severely.
And you sure don't want to see a non-contact.
No. It was sad, but you know, and I'll tell you, since I'm going to segue to another rule I'd like to see changed. Yeah.
I'll push you up.
No, this is another great one. This is one. This is even better than my NFL one. I think high school girls basketball, even boys, I think at the end of a quarter or a half or whatever, if you get the ball out of bounds, I'd like to see them. They do it in college. Because if you're down a point or whatever, I'm not trying to pick on girls, because we have the greatest coach in the world. It's pretty hard to move the ball 90 feet in 2 seconds. I'd like to see it be a call timeout, get the ball at half court.
I'm not as sold on that one.
Yeah, I that's,
sorry.
But it's all right. They do it in college.
I know.
And then they went to the 5 fouls per quarter now.
The women's do.
Yeah.
I get the natural.
Most boys can have somebody can throw it down there. I'm not, you know, I mean, not everybody's had a Caitlin Clark. I mean, I think it'd make it kind of fun.
I don't have any strong feelings.
Yeah, I just.
But I see what you're.
But when I see it, I know there's no chance that team's ever going to do anything.
NBA athletes.
Yeah.
Are able to do that. Yeah. So.
I just think, you know, it would be a nice thing to do in girls basketball. You know, they've already adopted that. If you've been to, you went to a game this year, you know it's 5 fouls per quarter. There's no 1-on-1s anymore.
Yeah. I kind of like the no 1-on-1.
Yeah. And it's 5 per quarter, and then it's you're shooting 2.
Yeah.
I do like that rule, yeah.
I don't mind
that. The old rule, yeah, just it could be awful sometimes.
And I like the 35-second clock, too.
Yeah. I almost wish it was a little less, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And it almost. In the past, I mean, teams generally would try to take that last shot anyway, but now for sure they're going to. Yeah. And that's 35 seconds would be kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know, if you know, the last 8-9 years, if we went to a Hoover game with their coach, Johnson now, or you went up and watched Ames play. I mean, I think there was an Ames-Johnson game. I mean, an Ames-Hoover game one time that was like 31-29 or something like that. It was a district game, maybe to go to state or to advance to sub-state. I mean, just so boring. You know, if you want to talk about the most boring game ever, though, it had to be back before Dick Rasmussen, when the Ankeny Hawkettes were coached by the great Bob Donnelly, and he held the ball for the whole game, and I think they got beat by Perry or something like that, 4-3.
Wow.
True story.
Was he ahead when he held it? Or?
I don't know, but he held it to win it. But Dale and them have told me that's
what they lost. They
got beat. They got beat.
So it didn't work.
See, they didn't hit a 3-pointer back then.
No.
So somehow a girl got fouled and
I just know that it was a score very similar, that it was under double digits. I mean, like. 5-2, 5-4.
Boy, it'd be hard to hold the ball that. I mean, and then the defense must have just been standing back, because back then, didn't you have those 5-second calls just if you were closely guarded?
No, on 3-on-3. Did they have that?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, that would make sense. Dribble, dribble. Dribble, dribble, pass. Dribble, dribble,
yeah. Shoot. So, but, yeah, I mean, I don't think they had a five-second call back then.
I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. That shot clock's good to have for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to your segue, was there any other, was there a team that you thought that tanked this last Sunday?
I wasn't really. I didn't. I said the word tank. I don't think they threw the game, but they certainly didn't try to win it. Oh. You know, and my Chief fans told me, well, they went last year, they'd have nothing to play for, and they went out to California, beat the Rams. Well, I looked, and they set 14 starters this week, for God's sakes. I mean, I even thought Hollywood would get a few minutes in to get a couple reps in, you know. But, you know, Andy Reid was worried about a sandwich or something, you know. He's a good coach, but I'm just...
You seem to think he resembles a walrus.
He does look. He looks like Chumley, man. He does look like Chumley. Yeah,
I like.
But
I don't blame him for what he did. Sorry.
I don't blame him either. But God, it's, you know.
I don't think they were going to win that game anyway.
Yeah, just.
I mean, based on the outcome.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, did it make that much of a difference? I mean, Denver was just. They had a lot of. They played well when I was watching.
Yeah, they played. They played D-Mac.
And I don't like Sean Payton, by the way.
I know.
But he's done a great job with that team this year, and Nick has really developed.
He looks great. I mean, think about it. They're playing the Chiefs.
People probably wonder if I like any coaches. There are some coaches.
They're playing the Chiefs, and, you know, it's a team that's only lost one game this year. They won back-to-back Super Bowl, so they are a good team. You got to think they've got really good backups. And you think Denver over the time, they've had, you know, Craig Morton, they've had John Elway, they've had Jake Plummer, they've had Peyton Manning. So they've had some pretty good coaches. And to think that next, as a rookie, sets their team record for most completions in a row. You know, they must have me back there covering. I mean, it's like, you know, it was hard to watch.
Breaking news, the Vikings Rams game has been moved to Glendale.
Interesting.
Well, Arizona?
Yeah.
Wow, Mike Kelly's probably loving life right now.
The Cardinals play,
yeah. You know, that's happened before. Well, why can't they just move it to U.S. Bank?
Well, that wouldn't be fair to
no,
the Rams.
Well, it could be our right for us, you know. I'm just
I wouldn't try to do it.
Well, hey, no, before we move on, I got to chime in on the Chiefs. There was a theory floated out there. I think you might have floated it that the Chiefs were avoiding the Bengals, and I don't doubt that they wouldn't want to see Burrow, but Burrow would have had to beat the Bills first, and I think the Chiefs would be okay with playing Burrow instead of Allen.
Yeah.
I don't think. And Kelsey even said on his podcast this week that he laughed when they asked him about, like, were you guys afraid of the Bengals? And,
I mean, he said, we'll play him in a parking lot. And it's, you know, I like Kelsey. I mean, I do. I like him. There's really not any Chiefs. I mean, I don't like some of their receivers because they're dumb. But I do like a lot of their players. I mean, I love that. Truthfully, the best, their MVP this year, it's got to be Jones. It can't be anybody but him. He's just had a... just an incredible year.
Chris Jones, you mean the defensive?
Oh my God, what a year he's had.
He's a beast.
Oh my God. You know, and then Tony's Vikings, I mean, you know, Darnold's just played unbelievable. The team loves him, and everybody knew how good Jefferson was, but look at the wideout next to him. Look how good he's doing, Tony.
Yeah, except last week.
Yeah, well, it has. You know,
won't get there all year.
It's going to happen.
Now, speaking of the Chiefs and ex-Chiefs, what happened with Tyreek? Did he, like, refuse to play this week, or what happened there?
Well, yeah, I think that's what happened. He, in the fourth quarter, I will defend one part about him. He's never been my favorite human being in the world. I really disliked him when he was a Chief. I tolerate him as a Dolphin. He does some dumb things, but he played with a torn ligament in his wrist since week two. They told him they should have done surgery. So he's played through this whole year on a very, very bad hand.
Didn't he do it like a back bend where he used his hand?
If he did, I don't know. He could have. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it was just with that hand.
I'm not going to deny it.
You know, I love Tyreek.
I know. He's hard to like.
Well, when he got pulled over for speeding, is that why he couldn't roll down the window? Because
he heard it. He heard it after that. Oh, okay. But I will say one thing.
Now Dan. Loved it. I probably would like him if he's a Viking.
No.
But
what I will say, though, is I screenshotted this. I was going to send it to the boy band, but Todd Stills is too mean to me, and I didn't feel like having somebody say drink to me. But Tyreek came up, and I got to find what he said. Tyreek said, and this is after they talked to him for quite a while, so it wasn't the first thing he said, and I think he was ready to leave, and out of frustration, I think he said it. I'm opening the door. I'm out of here, bro. It was a great playing here, but at the end of the day, I can do what's best for my career. I'm too much of a competitor to just be out there. So a Dolphin fan after that on Twitter posted, couldn't roll down a window. How are you going to open a door?
Oh.
Which I thought was a pretty good.
I don't think you would have gotten that.
That was a pretty good net.
You guys still hearing me?
Yeah.
But I think your mic went down a little bit there, Rod. Just put it back there.
No. So anyway, you know, I think he was frustrated. Just, you know, he would say he still wants to be there. Truthfully, they're in salary cap hell. They've done a terrible job. They went from the youngest team to the oldest team. If somebody wants to trade for him, like the Raiders, or because they usually trade for stuff like that, or, you know, I've read that Washington needs a receiver and that the Chargers could use one for there. And, you know, and I've heard he would even go like a one-year deal. I've read some stuff where they think he would just do a one-year deal and then be a free agent and come back to Kansas City. Someone said that's really where he wanted to have been. He's made a lot of money in Miami. And truthfully, he's, in my opinion, he's always left it all on the field. I mean, he's like one of the hardest workers I have. So I'm going to give him a little break here. But I think when he looked up and his wrist is hurting and they know we're not going to win because he looks at the score and it's Denver 143 and Chiefs 0. Well, that's yards for score, by the way. Not score, but, you know, I mean, why go in and do it? But he probably should have told the coach that, you know.
Hill's agent says star wide receiver committed to Dolphins.
Yeah, I read that today.
I just saw that one too.
Yeah, so, yeah, but no, it was disappointing, but I, you know, I'd be frustrated too. If they got me after a loss, I'd probably say some things I regretted. Been known to do it before.
And I will not segue with that.
Yeah. So yeah, you say sometimes things you regret.
Well, hey Rod, since
we all do.
Rod set a record for segues tonight. Here's a segue on your segue. Do you guys ever listen or watch to the Murph and Andy podcast that they do now?
I do. I'm not an insurance.
Andrew Downs had a great segue the other day because Andy did a segment on, like, people that work in emergency rooms, the things that people come in with things stuck up their rectum. So yeah. They were talking about, like, people having bottles and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What's the segue here, Dan?
Well, then Andrew Downs popped in because he did a great segue because he was going to move on to the next segment.
Oh, okay.
And you know how Andrew Downs, he hates people from Wisconsin because he's got family up there, doesn't like people. Anybody from Wisconsin hates the Packers, hates Aaron Rodgers.
So his
segue was, well, speaking of assholes, Aaron Rodgers. And I mean, it was just, it was so good. So I got to give them a shout out.
We're going to speak of a-holes. I mean, really, I mean, you can't get more than Rex Ryan. And the guy is lobbying so much for this job.
I like him on the show, though.
But he's been just lobbying like this. I'm the only one that can do it. He's like Donald Trump out there, for God's sakes.
Oh, no, don't go there.
No, it's all about me. It's like I can change everything. I'm going to get Aaron Rodgers, and he's either going to be this or he's going to be gone. You know, it's just like.
You can't hear these screw-off beer cans.
Yeah, we don't have that. There we go.
A little bit there.
But I'm just telling you, though, he's, you know, I think he's funny. I like him on his show.
I do.
But I hope he goes back because he was a train wreck as a coach.
All right, who here likes the Eagles coach?
No, I don't like him.
I don't like him either.
I was talking.
I think he's very good. And his bodyguard guy. Come on.
Well, here's, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking to Andy Crawford. I said, here's coaches I like. I like the Vikings coach. I do. I think he's.
I like him.
I like him. You know, I like the Packers coach.
I like the Packers.
I think he's just great. I love Tampa Bay's coach. He's done a great job down there.
Yeah.
And I love Mike Tomlin. I know Steeler fans want him to win more, but the guy puts a good product out every single year, man. I really like him.
I agree.
I'm not a Sean Payton fan. I really don't care for the 49ers coach, to be honest. He just kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Sean McVay, like him. His team plays hard.
Oh, he's great, man. He's, you know. But there's a lot of coaches I like.
I like more than I do. I would just end up talking about coaches we don't like.
Yeah, I
guess that's my point.
I like Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like
a little bit too much. That's going to grow old over time.
But well, yeah. And I tell you, I like, oh my goodness, another one I really like too, that I'm having a brain freeze here. I really like the Bills coach.
Oh, yeah.
I like him a lot. Did you see what he did last week? This is cool. So his punter gets $100,000 incentive, and they don't make a ton of money. I mean, they make good money, trust me. But if he needed one more punt inside the 20, so from the 35-yard line, he called for a punt so he could down inside the 20 to get his $100,000.
That's cool.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
That's a player's coach.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think that doesn't endure to your locker room?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's pretty cool.
And it's pretty cool that he's aware of that kind of.
Yeah,
and going into the game or during the game.
Or you can have a coach that, a player that needs like 63 snaps to get a $500,000 incentive, like the Cowboys quarterback, and then Jerry decides they're going to play the third team quarterback this week. Think there's any coincidence there? Jerry don't want to pay him $500,000. Guarantee that's what happened. Cooper Rush needed 63 snaps to get a $500,000 deal.
There you go.
That's factual. Okay.
I believe you.
And you know McCarthy didn't call that.
Yeah.
That's coming from Jerry.
That's a Jerry job.
Yeah, he's
a good guy.
I mean, seriously, Tony, you don't realize we go back so far that Tony and I have these. There's certain people that they used to love to show on TV. I mean, doesn't matter.
Why are we going there?
Because there are certain owners you didn't like, and they always have to show certain people. And I tell you, if I've seen Art Modell in a cashmere coat once. I've seen it 100,000 times. They show Art Modell on the sidelines in his cashmere coat.
How many times have we had a broadcast, and I bet he's brought up Art Modell once a year?
Do I really?
I think so. I don't know. I won't do the fact check.
Well, they would show him, and the other thing that they always show is, I mean, if you've
Mike seen... Mike
Ditka. Yeah, and how about Mike Singletary's eyes? If you've seen those once, you've seen them 100,000 times. You know? But then you always got to show Jerry Jones. I mean, do they show? They don't. You know, they don't show your owner. They
Ziggy.
They showed Stephen Ross one time doing the stupid waddle dance. He looked ridiculous, but they, you know. But Jerry Jones, they got a. Did you see in Philly they went after Jerry?
Oh,
they were. Did you see that, Dan?
Yeah.
They were. They're up against the window, and they were like. It was great. I don't like that.
That's a tough call there between Philly fans and.
So we're going to make this a quick one tonight. We're about ready to wrap up. But what do you think about Iowa the other night just giving up 116, Dan? I mean, seriously.
That's just so typical of them. I mean, then they come back against Nebraska and have that great rally. And Sanford went off, but he does that. I mean, I don't think there's a guy.
0 points the first half.
Do you have 30 in the second?
Yeah. And overtime. But yeah.
So do you know that the last time that two players on the team scored 30 in a game was also Iowa, and it was Bohannon and somebody else.
Garza maybe, or
yeah, it was somebody like that. It was the last time that it's
or Murray.
Yeah, and you get that, and then you go up north here, and you watch that basketball team play, and they're so physical. I was privileged enough that I got to sit on the floor with my son, his fiance, and my wife to walk in. They were playing a Indianapolis team, and I went to watch Kate Kelvin and my friend's son play, and he got in, which was great. And Cato had an unbelievable assist, but I'm telling you, when you're right there that close, man, they're physical. Iowa State, they play defense, man. I mean, they're fun to watch,
and they got an offense now too. So,
yeah, but they're ranked. Are they second now?
Well, they will be next week if they win Saturday.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's they're good.
This is nitpicking a little bit, but the last couple of games, they've been up about 20. Let's go. Let some of them guys in there at the last minute.
Well, Trump, don't.
They've only played 8 guys the last two. It's like, especially when you're at home.
Let Cato in. That's what I say. I want 13 in.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But
I mean, that is again nitpicking.
Yeah,
again, there's always stuff going on that you don't know about.
Man, they play hard though.
But
they play.
They're really good.
They're well coached, play hard, and you know what? I watched it and I saw the videos and stuff again, and you know, it's pretty cool when a coach can come back and the evasion that Eustachy, who really put very good teams on the court for them up there, back to back Big 12 titles. Or was it big? Was it still Big 12 then? Or big,
oh yeah, it was Big 12.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was Big 8 clear back then or not. But you know, I mean, he had to felt good about that ovation he got there. You know, I mean,
that was really cool.
Oh, I mean, the guy's in Missouri. He's scared to fly. Has a couple beers with some hot girls. I mean, compared to the guy at LSU, he didn't do anything. You know, what's that guy's name? Ed.
Yeah,
he was in the hot tub with like 8 of them.
Well, if he was in there at 8 of them, I don't know how much water was in there. He's a big guy.
Pretty handsome lad. But no, it was.
I bet he has to shave his back. But anyway,
I'm telling you, though, if the guy was still alive, if we made a movie about him back in the day, we could have his story, and we could have Ed Asner play him.
A little Ed Asner.
Did you guys hear the good comment from Larry Eustachy about what they did with his old office? Did you hear that? Because now that's now Johnny's. So he said appropriately, they turned my old office into a bar.
I didn't know
that. Yeah. That's
I saw an old Ace reporter was up there having the.
Oh my God! I saw it too.
Old Ace reporter for the Register.
Randy.
What's he do now?
He does like write some columns for that Iowa Everywhere. The group that does the Murph and Andy and all the other podcasts and things. So he's still. Us old journalists, we just can't retire. Yeah, we just retire and then we just keep writing for somebody else. So
yeah. Glad he didn't break anything.
Yeah, he's not well liked by much of us here. even Coach Jerry Pizet does not care for the man, and Jerry likes everybody. So
I'm sure Jerry appreciates you sharing that.
Speaking of Jerry, are there any high school sports we want to talk about before we move on?
I mean, we got basketball coming up. Centennial's got a less than average team this year. They're struggling. And, you know, Ankeny, they play hard. I don't think they've got, you know.
They're better than I thought they'd be, though.
They are better. You know, the Gary kid's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very, you foul him, you might as well count it. The girls are playing great. I mean, Scott's got them playing well. But, I mean, who the heck's going to beat Johnson?
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, how many in a row have they won, Dan?
Well, two of the last three. They lost the year in between, so.
I mean, but when's the last time they lost a game?
Would have been the year before last in the final. Because they were undefeated last year, so.
Well, I tell you, we're talking about some stuff, and somebody brought something up the other day about this town. And I said, oh, yeah, that's, it might have been in our boy band text. And I said, that's where, now I'm drawing a blank, but the great coach that coached girls basketball was at it. It's not
Bud Legg?
No, it's another one there.
Bud McClure?
Yeah, and he was, where was he at, Dan?
Minneapolis?
Yes, he was at Minneapolis. And I looked, because I remembered, I said, this was like me, you know, with some, no one's ever heard. I go, yeah, that's where this guy was.
Home of the last jumping center.
Yeah, you know, it's true. That's what she was, too. That was Evan Gish, class of 39. But anyway, my God, he was 375-10 at home in his career. That's hard to do.
They never won a game 4-3, I bet.
I bet they didn't either. You know, but if anybody wants to know about the last of the jumping centers, we're gonna segue back to Vets Auditorium and the late great Jim Duncan when he'd bring the ladies out. And we had our late great friend Doug Westholm could do him like no other.
Jim Duncan.
And he would used to come out and say, the year was 1934. In the Gish, after milking 7 cows, came off the bench to lead Minneapolis. She was the last of the jumping centers. You know, that was pretty cool stuff, man. You know. And Jim wasn't Jim Duncan great when he would do it. He's just one of those guys of treasure. Kind of like listening to Dan's podcast, you know. Sometimes I just listen to him over and over again just so I can hear Dan.
How about that?
Because he can really handle anybody. But no, I'd like to see think one of these Ankeny teams could, you know, and the boys could advance, but this is just not probably their year. The Ankeny girls team is a good team.
Well, they're on a struggle right now. Yeah. They've lost seven in a row, but
they could have easily won on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean it was a 1-point game for the longest time. Yeah. You know, but you know they're like us. We're just not big.
I didn't realize they lost seven in a row.
They won the first four and then lost seven in a row. But I mean their schedule is just brutal because there's just so many good teams in the conference, and they could win Friday, should win. I mean they've already beat Valley once. That's who they got tomorrow night. So. Hopefully they'll get off the schneid there.
Yeah, but I watched the Centennial Valley girls game, and they're just not. They weren't very good.
They're not good. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Brad Rose's daughter plays on that team. She had a nice game, but they're just not very strong.
Well, speaking of old-time girls basketball players, you know my all-time favorite girls basketball player was?
Fonda Dix.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know where she's from?
Verina?
Like Bridgewater Fontanelle or somewhere? Or?
She's from Moravia.
Moravia.
She's from Moravia, Iowa, Fonda Dix.
Okay.
She scored like 3,000 some points. She's in the top five all-time leading scorers in the state of Iowa. She's made David Letterman's favorite athletes' names at least twice before. Good old Fonda.
I don't know if you guys know the realtor in town here who actually sold us our house, not our current house, but the one before. She's a realtor. Her name is Rhonda Dix. I'm sure she's glad her name is not Fonda.
Yeah. Rhonda's a good kid, man. Kind of back, you know, always reminded me a little bit of that something about Mary Girl.
Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, kind of Cameron Diaz.
I see that,
But yeah. You know, but, it's been a great ride, Cast. If you sit by me at basketball games, I usually try to figure out what the official, who he resembles. I've got one that looks a lot like Brett Cameron.
And this, Mike Cleff?
Oh, Mike Cleff. He just looked like Mike Cleff, man. Yeah, you guys have anything you want to talk about the next broadcast, go ahead and send me a text, 515-771-6753. If you want to be a guest on the show, we're interviewing for our next guest.
Give me a night off.
And, no, you'll be, just give me the night, little George Benson here. And
I'll play it tonight.
Yeah, and we're going to, but yeah, just let us know and come up and...
I have a story before you... If you want the last word, I have it to tell a story.
Yeah, Tony's got a story, and we're gonna end with the word of the night.
Okay, so as you guys know, I like to go to concerts at Woolies, and I think you guys do too. And a lot of times, you know, my wife will go with me, Jana, God love you, and we like to go over to Locust Tap after the shows, and sometimes.
Before, yeah, too.
Yeah, and before. and Rick and Amy, Rick Dovish, Amy Roberts, they like to go down with us a lot. So we'd like to go to Locust Tap afterwards, and we would play some pool once in a while. And we've had some fun playing pool and so on. So, and I, you know, we'll have a few beverages at the concert and get feeling pretty good. And Rick and I want to go over to Locust Tap and go play some pool. And I say, hey, how about we go to Locust Tap, Jenna? No, she don't want to go there. It's, you know, it is a dive, right? And the ladies just don't want to go there. So I say, well, I mean, well, you know, I'm ready to go. Then we go home and we do some wrestling or whatever, you know. And you know, I've had a few, and that always goes well. And I said, well, so what do you want to do? Jenna goes, rap 'em.
Is that true? Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to answer.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, go.
I will say,
that's my story.
I will say one thing, you know, when you go to a place like the Locust Tap or the Clipper or a lot of the smaller dive bars, Tony's known as the jukebox hero.
Yeah.
Because, and he doesn't use the app. He pulls up old school, puts money in, and physically types them in. And then when he gets jumped,
you know,
not a pretty sight. not a pretty sight. But you know, I'm gonna say I wanna. By the time we have the next broadcast, we're gonna be about into Final Four, aren't we, Dan?
Probably, yeah.
We're gonna be in the Final Four, and Super Bowl's already will have happened. And my word that I want you to use if for you know if you see me and let you listen to it. It's ABC.
Was
so,
there
anyone but Chiefs?
Oh.
That's ABC.
I thought it was Michael Jackson.
No, ABC is easy as 1, 2, 3, but no, it's ABC. Okay. That's this year's motto, it's ABC. Sorry, Dan, but I'm chiefed out.
I thought maybe it stood for always be classy, but I guess I was wrong. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When you want to have class, you come here. But if you get that insurance bill and it's looking a little scary, I take the scare out of insurance. I make it fun again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Make it fun.
You need to get a jingle.
Yeah, make it fun again. Yeah.
I don't know who you're going to get to sing that.
Nick Herman.
There you go.
We'll get Nick Herman to sing.
Oh,
my God, we're going to have our jingle. Making sure it's fun again.
He can do all the instruments.
Extra value is what you get.
Again, let's have Nick Herman.
Hey, Dan, it was a great, great broadcast. Thanks for 18 of these guys. Listen, say ABC, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you said we were going to go short tonight. We've only gone 56 minutes, so that's probably one of the shortest ones ever. So
I love it. We've been in under an hour.
All right, come back in a couple months. We'll be back.
Yep, bye.
Thank you.